Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we have a special treat as we hear from Pastor Heather with her teaching titled God's Masterpiece. Here's Pastor Heather.
I'm used to speaking in kids' church, and I was telling the first service this morning, it was actually pretty relaxing speaking because I wasn't looking at kids talking over there or somebody walking off to the bathroom or going under chairs or it was. So this is like a real treat for me. But if I do say your name, Pastor Ron, you can't be talking right now. Are you hear what I'm saying? So. But it is a true privilege to be in what I call big church this morning and to see all of your faces. And some of you guys have been going here forever, and I think you're a new person because I don't get to be with you. But I am so delighted to be here. And I want to say worship and the presence of the Lord is here already. And whatever happens after that is bonus. So I am not nervous at all because God's presence is here. But I believe that he has a word for us this morning. As a mother of three kids, I'm finding out things don't get easier. They just get different. The things I was so concerned about, and I know that we have some young families here with new babies, about covering light sockets or what's the right laundry detergent, have given way to who my kids' friends are and the influences around them. And just because they turn 18 and the government says they are an adult doesn't mean that I stop caring for them or have a vested interest in their lives. I will never stop caring for my kids until my final breath. I was kind of a strange little girl, and my mom is right there. And I guess you made me strange. I don't know. But I was a strange little girl. And I remember the night of my 9th birthday, I was in bed and I was bawling my eyes out because half of my life with my parents was over. It was kind of like when I'm 18, that's it. You're on your own. I don't know how I'm going to get food, clothes, and shelter. But I am well beyond 18, and these lights are hopefully being really nice to me right now, but both my parents have a very active influence in my life, and just because now I'm a wife, and I'm a mom, and I have a life of my own, doesn't mean that they are done with me as their daughter. A couple of weeks ago, I called my mom, and I was just crying, I was stressed out. And my mom comforted me and assured me that things were going to be okay. They're just a phone call and a plane trip away. Literally, I brought my mom up. I just got back from a missions trip, and I was like, there's no way that I could leave my three kids with Paul for like a week and a half. So, and Paul was a happy guy when I came home, but yeah, I'm so thankful for my mom that there's nothing that they wouldn't do for me. Now, if that is my earthly mother or father, how much more does our Heavenly Father care for us? And he wants to be an active part in our lives. It says that we are his prized creation, his handiwork, and he is never done with us. He's not finished with us. Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I love watching home renovation shows. Does anybody else? It's kind of like my secret go-to show. And there is this house with pea green carpet, yellow appliances, linoleum, and shag carpet all around. And it seems like there is no hope in this homely home. The owners look around, and all they see is what's wrong. And they might even think that it's a lost cause and that they should just raise it to the ground and start over. They can't see the potential. All they can see is the problems. And this morning, I want to ask you the question, isn't that how sometimes we are with our present circumstances? We look at our life and the mess around us and things are broken. This world is broken, run down, and beyond repair. Remember this, and this is something in kids' church over and over, the first thing that you teach is that God made you. That he created us in his image, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. He is the architect, and he has the blueprint for our life. He is the great healer, restorer, and dream maker. And we live in this fallen world, a world full of sin, hurt, destruction, and death. And I think sometimes when we're going through life and stuff happens, we forget that this is a sin-filled, fallen world. And Satan, even in God's word, it says that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he doesn't play fair. Our enemy is not our spouse. It's not our boss. It's not our ex. It's not our, I'm going to let you fill in the blank of who that is, but it is the enemy, and he will use anything to come and rob us of who we are in Christ. And daily we're faced with challenges and circumstances that catch us off guard. We try so hard in our own strength to contain it, to control it, and change it, but really it's beyond our capacity. We feel isolated and alone because we cannot see the big picture or the complete work. It's a mess, it's scary, and beyond our ability to fix. I'm thinking right now we're going to be recognizing our graduates in a couple of weeks. And I remember just graduating going, what is my life going to be? How is this going to work out? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get through school? Did I choose the right major? All of these things. But let me remind you this. God is not setting us up for failure. He's not looking at the sidelines waiting for us to fail and pointing at us. That isn't his character. In case you haven't noticed, in this world there is an all-out assault upon our identity. My daughter brought home this paper. She's in fifth grade and she's taking health class, and that's scary enough. But one of the questions that she had was, how do you define your sexual orientation? And those are questions I have never had a conversation with my mom before, but there is an assault upon our identity. And this world is in crisis, and people are being tossed to and fro, trying to figure out who they are and why they exist. Why should we read our Bible? It is the source of discovering who we are. How better to know who you are and what you were created for than to know the one that created you? The Bible isn't just a bunch of rules or stories of people and wise sayings. It's God's revelation of who he is and his character. And when I question my identity, am I good enough? Do I have value? How am I compared to this person? I go back to what his word reveals about his character and who he says that I am. Threaded throughout God's word is the revelation of a creator separated from his creation and a rescue plan that brings ultimate restoration. Unlike those fixer-upper shows where in a half hour or 45 minutes, a dilapidated house is transformed into a dream home, not so with real life. However, when we find ourselves at the bottom of a pit, the only place that we can look to is up. And that is the perfect place where we can allow God to come in and intersect into our lives. What a great promise we have in Psalms 34:18. It says this: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." In a throwaway society, he still finds value in us, even when we don't find it in ourselves. God is not done with me. I went to school, I got married, I had 3 kids. I was a pastor enjoying our church, and it was a wonderful church in Arizona. All my family lived there, and I felt like I had gone as far as I could go, and I was okay, so I thought. But we felt the pull to come to Oregon, and my whole world fell apart. Everything that I had worked so hard for and invested my life in was going to be gone. So I went to God's word. And in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says this: "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and panic. For the Lord your God will," I love this part, "he will personally," he's not going to send somebody else to do it, "he will personally go ahead of you, and he will never fail you or abandon you. God is with me. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord." The story of Jonah kept rehearsing in my mind, and of course, it's nobody wants to be like Jonah. Like when you talk in the Bible, who's your favorite Bible character that you want to be like? Nobody says Jonah, but I think we talk about it a lot in kids' church because it makes a really cool craft where you can like make this big fish and this man is being like eaten by the fish. But I was thinking about the story of Jonah, so I was like, I'm going to read this story, not from a, you know, teaching it, but I'm going to really read what does God say? What is he trying to tell us? And here's a guy who had been there, done that. God had used him to tell other people about the good news. And then all of a sudden, Jonah had heard from the Lord. But this time, Jonah took things into his own hands. He basically told God no. Have any of you guys here ever told God no? Maybe it's harboring unforgiveness or just plain being disobedient to what he's asking you to do. When Jonah told God no, he put conditions on God that I'm done with you and I'm going to do my own thing. You see, a lot of times we want God to intervene in our situation on our terms and how we want it. But in Isaiah 55:8, it says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways, your ways are my ways, declares the Lord." For me, when God told me that I needed to move up here to Portland, I said no. I didn't want to move. I was happy. I loved my church and my friends and my ministry. I was kind of like Jonah, but I didn't get swallowed up by a whale, so don't worry. But the Holy Spirit convicted me. And this morning, the worship service was so awesome because I believe that God speaks through us through that. And I was raising my hands, and there's that song, "I Surrender All." And I was saying no to God. I was like praying everything. I was like, "Lord, you know, you can change this or whatever." And then I was like, "Heather, are you singing a lie? Do you really surrender all to him?" We compartmentalize God and we tell him the areas of our lives that he cannot touch or have control. And God wasn't done with Jonah. He orchestrated a storm that affected others' lives and a giant fish swallowed him up. I'm going to read to you this morning the prayer of Jonah. It comes from Jonah 2 and it's 1 through 10. And just listen along with me of his journey of trusting God. "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I cried for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my neck. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Isn't that powerful? And then right after that, he got thrown up by the whale. So God loves us enough that he won't allow us to stay in our present state, as comfortable as it is. And I love comfort. I am not one who likes change. But he wants to grow, mature, and use us not for our own glory or comfort, but for his glory. Today's verse where we get God's masterpiece comes from Ephesians 2:10. And it says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works for which God has prepared us in advance to do." The word workmanship can also mean masterpiece, or we are even God's poem. I want you to take a moment and let it really sink in that you are his masterpiece. He isn't finished with you. Whether you are a seasoned saint and have lived your life full on for the Lord, you still have influence. You have wisdom to impart into others. You are an awesome prayer warrior. If you are searching for meaning and you're not sure who God is, I want to tell you this morning, just like Jonah, God has orchestrated this moment right now to hear his voice and let you know that he wants to be an active part of your life. Maybe you've come from a broken relationship or devastating circumstance that you can't seem to shake, and you don't know if you can recover. He is there, and he is not done with any of us. You know, the world uses filters, makeup, Photoshop, to hide our brokenness or create a facade. In fact, I was looking at some friends from Facebook. I was like, man, they look good. How do they look so good on those pictures? And then somebody told me, oh, they have a filter. Well, in Japan, there is an art form called kintsugi. Has anybody ever heard of kintsugi before? Oh, good, you're going to learn something. It's called the precious art of scars. It treats breakage and repair as part of the history of the object rather than something to discard or disguise. By repairing broken ceramics, it's possible to give a new lease of life to pottery that becomes even more refined thanks to its scars. The Japanese art of kintsugi teaches that broken objects are not something to hide or throw away, but to display with pride. Isn't that the same way it is with God in our life? That he takes our brokenness, our shattered parts, and heals us and makes it beautiful. If we allow our scars become his story of grace and goodness. This morning, I'll be honest with you, I feel like I'm on the edge of a cliff, not this cliff, but I kind of feel like I'm at this point where I'm like, I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know what the future holds. And I know we as a church right now, we're in this transition time. But I want to assure you this morning that we may not know what the future holds, but I know who is with us. And I have submitted myself to quit trying to figure things out or try to make things happen. Just like Jonah, God got my attention and helped me to realize that there is more out there than I could imagine. As I stand before you today, I would have never imagined that I would be sitting here, that I would be in ministry at this church, that I would have the friendships and community that I thought that I had lost. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says it so well. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen? So this morning, as I close, I'm doing good. I got these. It's 11:34. This morning as I close, I want to share with you just this story. And this kind of ages me, but do you guys remember the days before remote controls where you had to actually go to the TV? And as a parent, that's what your kid's job was like, okay, turn it up, turn the channel. And it was the days before cable. And so you basically had like 3 to 5 channels. And when it was Saturday cartoons, that's the only time that cartoons were on was Saturday mornings. And so I remember as a little girl, after Saturday morning cartoons were over, the only thing left to watch was this lovely gentleman on PBS named Bob Ross. Does anybody remember Bob? Bob Ross. I actually looked him up. Did you know he was in the military for 18 years? And was kind of like he was way up there, but he discovered his love of painting. He discovered a technique to where painting could be made easy. And I remember watching him, and he would have this canvas, and he's like, all right, we're going to do this landscape or whatever. And he would just be so messy. He would like be slushing on paint over here and taking his brush and he'd like create trees in like 5 seconds, and they would look like real trees. And it would look like a horrible mess, and I'd be like, how is he going to do a mountain? How is he going to make a mountain? He'd go, and there was the mountain. And you see, guys, things in our life cannot make sense, or they seem like a total mess or a disaster, or kind of like, what's ahead? I don't see where are we going to go or what's going to happen. But God, who is the artist and the creator, comes along, and in one moment, and in one brushstroke, and in one move, takes our mess and turns it into God's masterpiece. Amen? Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.